إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 18th session and final session from the book of Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Sadhan, Hafidhullah, which he has entitled Min Akhlaq al-Anbiya alayhim as-salam, yani the character and morals of the prophets, yani that should be taken as a model and an example to be followed. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to do something a little different than we normally do, just slight modification of our normal procedure, and that is normally we first do the questions from the previous session, from the questionnaire study guide, and then we do the lecture, and then we finish. But tonight, inshallah, at the end of the lecture, we're going to do the questions for tonight's lecture. We're going to do the questions for tonight's lecture tonight. Instead of next week we're not going to have a class. And normally we do those questions at the dinner. But let's just have a dinner next week. Inshallah, do the questions tonight. I reduced the questions to a lesser number. I tried to make them as simple as possible so that we can answer them tonight. So that means that you have to think and focus a little more, right? You don't have a whole week to look over the questions. So everybody should be focusing a little bit more. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And by the way, next week, inshallah, we have the dinner. So, we'll talk about it in the end, inshallah. Please, somebody remind me. And also, somebody remind me to mention, which I have been forgetting for the last 3 weeks, that there's a class on the explanation of 40 hadith at Masjid Ihsan on Fulton Street between Washington and St. James. Masjid Ihsan on Fulton Street on Saturdays between Maghrib and Isha. Explanation of 40 hadith. So please, those of you who are in this area or can get to this area and are free on Saturday evening, you definitely should attend. No, it already started. I'm sorry, I should have told you weeks ago, right? Should have told you a long time ago. Every time I kept forgetting, I was going to make the announcement at the end of the class today, but I said I'll probably forget again, right? So I'm saying it now. Tomorrow, between Maghrib and Isha, Masjid Ihsan on Fulton Street, between, now. Oh, teacher's traveling tomorrow. So the following Saturday, inshallah. After our dinner next week, somebody remind us that the next day, the class, 40 hadith explanation, because our brother Mahmoud is traveling next week. Okay, alhamdulillah. Questions from last week, study guide number 17. Discuss the 20th characteristic of the prophets, alayhi salam, mentioned by the author. The 20th, the final characteristic that we took last week. Can somebody tell us about it? What was the 20th characteristic of the prophets mentioned by the author? Naam, ya Musa. Yani azim thiqatihim billahi wa husnu dhan billah. Naam. A meaning?
They having trust in Allah and also having a good thought about
trust in Allah and good thought, meaning good expectation, expecting good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And husnul dhan billahi means that they expect good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anybody want to say anything else about it? About that particular characteristic, what we understood from last week. And what do we mean by we translate husnul dhan as having a good thought or good expectation. What do we mean by that? Now,
they extend a lot of
relying on Allah in the worst of situations, knowing that Allah is wa'ad is haq.
Okay, knowing that Allah's promise is true, yani putting trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, depending on Him, relying upon Him. And also, what did Imam Qurtubi say about husn al-dhan? That it means what? Yani that when a person supplicates, what? They expect that Allah is going to answer. When you make tawbah, you what? Expect that Allah is going to accept it. Yani when you make istighfar, you expect that Allah is going to forgive you. When you do good deeds with their conditions, you expect what? Allah is going to accept it and reward it. This is husn al-dhan. Naam. And there's more that we mentioned, but in any case, just some idea. We'll talk about it further as we go along. Second question, memorize the hadith Qudsi mentioned by the author showing the importance of having husn al-dhan with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadith Qudsi, Abu Jamil. Ana inda abdi. Dhanni abdi. Naam. The way we got it in the book is any naam. فَإِنْ ظَنَّ خَيْرًا فَلَهُ وَإِنْ ظَنَّ سُوءًا فَعَلَيْهِ. But the actual wording of the hadith in the Muslim Imam Ahmed is what? إِنْ ظَنَّ خَيْرًا فَلَهُ وَإِنْ ظَنَّ شَرًّا فَلَهُ. And there's a few other wordings, but that is the closest to يعني, what the author mentioned in the book. The meaning of this يعني, hadith Qudsi is that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. Meaning, I'm as my servant expects me to be. يعني, إِنْ ظَنَّ خَيْرًا. If he expects good, فَلَهُ, then he will have good. وَإِنْ ظَنَّ شَرًّا, if he expects evil, then he will have evil, he will get evil. Naam. And there is indeed يعني, some more meaning to this. Okay, question number 3. Discuss briefly the meaning of the above hadith Qudsi, especially the explanation of Al-Hafiz ibn Hajj al-Asqalani and his explanation of Bukhari Fath al-Bari. يعني, what is the meaning of this hadith Qudsi? And especially, particularly, the explanation of Al-Hafiz. Naam. In the back. طيب, فضل, موسى.
Hafiz ibn Hajar said that Qadirun ala an a'amala bihi ma zanna amilun bihi.
Naam. He said that the meaning of Ana inda dhanni abdi bi, the meaning of it is Ana Qadirun. I am able to do with my servant what he expects me to do with him. And if he expects that I will do good by him, then I'm able to do so. And if he expects evil, that's what he expects from me, I'm able to punish him. Naam, Allah is able. قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ أَعْمَلَ بِهِ مَا ظَنَّ أَنِّي عَامِلٌ بِهِ. What else can we say about this? Yani, the meaning of this hadith Qudsi. Any other yani mention that somebody remembers from the discussion last week? We mentioned a lot of things, right? Naam, Nadir. Jayid. Naam. Yani that there is no abd who has husn al-dhan billahi illa annahu wa yani يعني حسن العمل. نعم حسن العمل. إذا أحسن الظن بالله يعني حسن العمل. If he has حسن الظن بالله, then he does good deeds. And the one who has أساء الظن بالله, what? أساء العمل, then he does evil actions. يعني the person who doesn't expect good from Allah, he does evil. And then he gets evil. يعني punishment, consequences. نعم. Anything else? طيب, after this, what about the saying of Sufyan al-Thawri? Anybody record the saying of Sufyan al-Thawri concerning the ayat of Allah? وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Naam, what did he say is the meaning of this? That, and he do good because what? Allah loves those who do good. What is the meaning of this, he said? Anybody? Naam, who's that? Nadir, naam.
expect good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to them?
That's one of the meanings, but yani Sufyan al-Thawri, he said the meaning of this ayat, wa ahsinu means what? Ahsinu adhan billahi. Yani ahsinu means, not as it might appear to mean, just do good deeds, but yes, that's the ultimate end of it, means expect good from Allah. Therefore, do good. Therefore, do good. Question number four. Discuss the foundation upon which Shu'ayb alayhi salam was able to put his trust in Allah alone, as mentioned in the Quran in the 7th surah and 89th ayat, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. What was the basis or the foundation upon which يعني, the Prophet Shu'ayb alayhi salam was able to put his trust in Allah alone? Based on what? Based on what? And the author mentioned it in the book. Naam. Naam.
Strong certainty,
قوة يقينه و حسن ظنه. حسن ظنه و قوة يقينه. يعني he had good expectation from Allah. حسن الظن بالله. يعني part of that is what? That if you call upon Allah, He answers you. If you ask for His help, He grants it to you. And if you seek refuge in Allah, He grants refuge to you. He had حسن ظن و قوة اليقين. Very strong certainty. He was certain about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No doubt about it. And for that reason, he was able to what? يتوكل على الله. He was able to put his trust in Allah, to depend upon Allah, to rely upon Allah. Because of what? Because of his حسن الظن and his يعني قوة اليقين. نعم. Memorize the statement of Musa عليه السلام. Question number 5. Memorize the statement of Musa عليه السلام to his people when Fir'aun intended to destroy them, as mentioned in the Quran in 7th surah, 128th ayat. نعم. Ahmed.
قال موسى لقومه قال موسى لقومه استعينوا بالله واصبروا إن الأرض لله إن الأرض لله يورثها من يشاء من عباده والعاقبة للمتقين.
العاقبة للمتقين. نعم. What is the meaning of this? Somebody else. يعني موسى said to his people. Somebody else. فقال موسى لقومه يا صالح. What is the meaning of this?
موسى said to his people.
استعينوا بالله واصبروا. Seek help, isti'ana, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be patient. Seek help from Allah. You're unable to do something, at that point, you must seek help from Allah and be patient. For indeed, inna al-arda,
the earth is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The earth belongs to Allah. Yurithuha min yasha min ibadihi.
He gives it to whomever he wills from his slaves.
He gives it to whomever he wills from his slaves, from his worshippers. And in the end, he said what? Wal-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen. Meaning, the good ending is for the people of taqwa, the people who observe taqwa. Question number 6, mention the three qualities mentioned by Musa alayhi salam, due to which his people would be rescued from Fir'aun. The three qualities. We have no participation from this side over here. Now, fadl. Al-isti'ana, number 1. Somebody else. We just heard the ayah. Naam, Nadir. Huh? Al-sabr, number 2, being patient. And number 3? Huh? Ya Mustafa, jazakallah khair. Al-taqwa. Wal-aqiba lil-muttaqeen. Al-taqwa. Yani isti'ana, seeking help from Allah. Was-sabr, being patient. Don't expect something to happen instantly. Be patient. Awaiting, expecting, anticipating Allah's response. That Allah will bail you out. Because the good end is for the people of taqwa. So these are qualities that we are in need of all the time. Seeking help from Allah, being patient, and at taqwa. Whatever we want to do, we have to seek help from Allah. You cannot do anything without the help of Allah. And that's why we say again and again and again in Al-Fatiha what? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And the last question mentioned the response of Musa alayhi salam. When his people thought that they would be overtaken by Fir'aun's army, and what his, yani Musa alayhi salam's words indicate, as mentioned in the Quran, 26 surah, ayah 61 and 62. What was the response of Musa, and what is the meaning? What do those words indicate? Naam, Ahmed.
قال كلا إن معي ربي
سيهديه. نعم. Meaning? So, somebody else help us. What is the meaning of this? نعم.
When the two groups saw each other.
The two, يعني the people of Musa and the armies of Fir'aun. When they saw each other,
they said, we have been overcome.
Who said that? Ashabu Musa. Musa's people, they said, we're overcome. يعني we are definitely overtaken. It's over for us. And قال موسى what?
Indeed Allah is with me. My Lord is with me.
Naam.
He's going to guide me.
Naam. Indeed, my Rabb is with me. If you people are in doubt, and you are in fear, and you think the matter is over, then I say, Inna Rabbi, Inna Ma'ya Rabbi. Indeed with me is my Rabb. Yani my Rabb and your Rabb, but I'm certain about this. Yani, Al-Yaqeen. Al-Yaqeen. Wathiqa Billahi. And he will guide me. To what? To that which will be my salvation. That I will be saved and you also will be saved. Yani Allah will guide. Allah ordered me, commanded me to go to this place. Definitely he will make a way out for us. And this is a tremendous topic, brothers and sisters. Wallahi, this topic should be a course in itself. Al-Thiqa Billahi. Having trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa-Husn al-Dhan. And Tawakkul ala Allah. This is, should be a topic in itself. And that we should spend some time with. بإذن الله تعالى at some point. And he definitely destroyed the disbelievers. Now, طيب. Tonight, يعني, like I said, there are six questions for the class tonight. So please pay attention to this topic carefully so we can answer them in the end. The topic tonight is من ثمرات التخلق بأخلاق الأنبياء عليهم السلام. يعني from the ثمرات, the fruits, يعني the benefits of التخلق, that a person formulate their character based on the character of the prophets and messengers عليهم السلام. That you make your character يعني in accord with, following the model and the example of the character of the prophets alayhim salam. And before I read these 11 benefits that the Shaykh Hafidhullah mentioned, before I read them, I'm going to remind you of those characteristics in brief. The characteristics that we've been mentioning over the past few months. That we should formulate our character based upon these characteristics and others that are mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah. The first of them is Al-Khashya. What? Having fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second of them, al-adab ma'allah. What?
Good manners
with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Adam al-intiqam. Not taking revenge from wrongs that are done to one personally. Except if there's a violation of the law of Allah. Na'am. But not for yourself. And the fourth of them, ash-shukr lillahi. What?
Being
grateful, thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fifth of them, al-musara'a fil khayrat. Hastening and doing good deeds without delay. The sixth of them is wafa al wa'd. Wafa al wa'd. Fulfilling trust, fulfilling contracts, keeping promises. The seventh of them, and these are characteristics of the prophets and messengers that we are in need of, every single one of them. Naam. I'm enumerating them tonight to put in our mind the importance of these particular matters and others like them, so that if we can characterize ourselves with these characteristics, there are many fruits, and the Shaykh mentions tonight 11 of them. The seventh of them, ma'rifatu haqq al-walidain, yani recognizing the rights of the parents. If your parents are alive, they have rights, even if they are Muslim or not. Naam. Parents have rights. Number 8, al-hirs, yani hirsihim, their eagerness and diligence in reference to taking care of their children and their families in general and their parents included with them in them. The 9th, tahammul as'ilat an-nas, yani they are bearing patiently the innumerable questions of the people. Yani some of us, if a person asks us more than 2 or 3 questions, we take it away, that's enough. But in da'wah, you have to be ready to answer questions, no matter how they come, how many they are, They used to bear patiently the questions of the people, and some of their questions were not even sincere questions. Rather, some of those questions were challenges to try to stump them. And some of them would try to trick them. And some of them were other than that. Not always sincere. And the tenth of them, wara wal-hadr min al-qawl ala Allah bila ilm. Yani their piety and cautiousness and carefulness from speaking about Allah without knowledge. And this is one of the great dangers that the people have fallen in today. Everybody is talking, especially with internet, Facebook, Twitter, I don't know what the other ones are called. Everybody has something to say about the deen of Allah. But they were careful. They were the prophets and messengers. Revelation would come to them. They were very careful to speak about Allah without knowledge. Yani that they, something they didn't have knowledge of. The 11th of them, an ikram al-daif. What? Honoring, yani being generous to guests. The 10th of them, rahmatil ar-rahma bil mad'uween. Yani being what? Merciful to those who they are calling, who they are inviting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the 13th of them, yani they're sticking to, adhering to that which they commanded the people with. They did it themselves. And avoiding that which they prohibited the people from. They left it themselves. And this is also important. Yani, and we discussed the meaning of this. It doesn't mean that if you are engaging in some sin, you can't warn people against it. You still have to warn people against it. But what's better than that is what? That you warn people against it and you leave it yourself. And likewise, enjoining the good, even if you're not doing it, you don't get up in the night and pray, but you know that it's good to do, tell somebody that this is good to do. Perhaps they will do it and you will get a reward for enjoining good and inviting people to good. Even if you didn't do it yourself, but it's better that we ourselves do what we call the people to and we prohibit the people from, we should avoid it. The 14th one is their consistency in their call to those who oppose them. Yani the people who disobeyed them, who opposed them, they were consistent and constant with their call. They didn't just give up after one or two tries. And their consistency in observing care for those who accepted their message, who followed them. That after they accepted the message, they didn't abandon them. Today somebody accepts Islam, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and all of that, and then they go home and we forgot about them. We didn't care what happened to them tomorrow. Nobody taught them how to pray, how to make wudu. Nobody asked them, do you need some money? Do you have food at home? Do you need some help? We just abandoned them. But the prophets, the people who followed them, they gave extreme care to them continuously, ongoing, non-stop. The 16th one, yani they're bearing patiently the harms of the people, their speech and their actions, the harms that they inflicted on the prophets. The 17th of them is that they did not rejoice in what? The punishment when it befell the disbelievers and the disobedient. They didn't rejoice in that. And number 18, this is not from noble character. Number 18, they're distancing themselves from all of the causes, the things that lead to ignorance. They were distant, far removed from the things that lead to ignorance. The 19th, their eagerness and diligence in seeking an increase in knowledge. Even though they were the most knowledgeable people, they were constantly seeking an increase in knowledge. And for that reason, I remind us that not this Saturday coming, but the following Saturday, class will start back on Saturday evenings between Maghrib, Isha, and Masjid Ihsan on Fulton Street between Washington and St. James. Please, don't forget. Explanation of 40 hadith. Increase of knowledge. Some of us, we think we already have enough knowledge. And the last of them, yani the magnificent greatness of their trust in Allah and their husnul dhan. Their good expectations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are 20 characteristics of the prophets and messengers alayhi salam that the Shaykh has mentioned. Tremendous, tremendous, yani, matters that we are all in need of. Some of us may have some of them. Most of us don't have many of them. And when I say us, I mean the Muslims. Forget about the other people. They don't have anything. The Muslims, we are in need, really. We are in need. Yani, those, the best of us, alhamdulillah, may Allah increase us all. Yani in knowledge, in beneficial knowledge, and in acting upon it. Yani the tawfiq to act upon that which we learn. Naam. The Shaykh, he begins this final chapter, yani the fruits of characterizing oneself with the character traits, the morals of the prophets and messengers, alayhi wasalam. لَمَّا كَانَ أَنْبِيَاءَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَامُ أَفْضَلَ النَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. Yani since the prophets of Allah, alayhi wasalam, since they are the best of all humanity, without exception. They are the best of humanity. كَانَ مِنْ لَازِمِ ذَلِكَ أَنَّ أَخْلَاقَهُمْ أَحْسَنَ الْأَخْلَاقِ وَأَزْكَاهَا وَأَطْيَبُهَا وَأَعْلَاهَا. Therefore, يعني that it necessitates then that their character is the best of all character, and the most pure of all character, and the most طيب, يعني good, wholesome of all character, and the highest, most lofty and sublime of all character, of any character that you can find in humanity, any place in the earth throughout history, the character of the prophets and messengers. It is the highest, the most lofty, the most clean, the most pure, the best of it all. And for this reason, كل مسلم يحرص على التخلق بشيء من ذلك الأخلاق العظيمة. Every Muslim, therefore, should eagerly be seeking to characterize oneself with something, some of these, يعني magnificent, sublime, lofty character traits, morals of the prophets and messengers. Every Muslim should be eagerly seeking to do so. يعني to keep your promise when you make a promise, to be hasty in doing good deeds, to be merciful to those who you're calling, to be patient with the people in da'wah, to recognize the rights of your parents, to take care of your children and your families. All of these things are things that we need to be characterized with. We need to be striving and struggling to take on these characteristics. إِلَّا أَنَّ دُعَاتِ النَّاسِ لِلْخَيْرِ هُمْ أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِسُلُوكِ مَسْلَكَ تِلْكَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Except that, yani every Muslim should be seeking these characteristics, except that those who are calling the people to khair, the people who are giving da'wah, and we don't mean the famous da'i who's on yani the circuit, who's giving lectures and speeches. We mean every person who's calling to the deen of Allah. That's every Muslim who's upon the sunnah is a da'i. Everyone who is upon the sunnah. As far as the deviants, that's something else. The people of sunnah, every one of us are responsible to call the people. If we are not good speakers or writers, then our behavior, our yani manifestation, implementation of the sunnah is a call of the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to His deen. Therefore, yani every Muslim should be characterized with these characteristics, should be eagerly seeking so, except that those who are calling to khair, yani to the deen of Allah, to the sunnah, to tawheed, then they have the most right or greatest obligation of all people to travel this path of what? The characteristics, the moral traits of the prophets and messengers. And this is because the calling the people to khair, this is the occupation, the wazifa of the Anbiya. This is what they were occupied with. So if you are engaging in that occupation, then you must have the characteristics of the prophets and messengers in order to be successful in calling people to the deen of Allah. فَإِذَا سَلَكَ دَعِي الْخَيْرِ مَنْهَجْ أَخْلَاقِهِمْ فِي دَعَوَاتِهِمْ جَنَى مِنْ رِيَادْ أَخْلَاقِهِمْ وَآدَابِهِمْ ثِمَارًا كَثِيرًا. So if the da'i, the one who's calling to khair, follows this yani methodology, this manhaj, this way of the akhlaq of the prophets and messengers in one's da'wah, then that person will harvest from the gardens of the characteristics, yani the character traits and the manners of the prophets and messengers. That is a garden, and the person who follows this way will harvest يعني ثمارا كثيرة, many, many fruits. And the person who takes on these characteristics, it is like you are planting something in a garden and you will get, you will harvest many, many fruits. Many fruits, many benefits. فَمِنْ ثَمَرَاتِ التَّخَلَّقْ بِأَخْلَاقِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامِ. So from amongst the many fruits of one who characterizes oneself with the characteristics, the trait, the character traits, the morals of the prophets and messengers, are the following. The first of them, and the Shaykh, he mentions 11. The first of them, and yani Allah knows best about the order of them, but in any case, this is how the order that they came. The first of them, ziyadatu mahabbat al-anbiya alayhim salam fil qulub. The first of them is what? First fruit of characterizing yourself with the characteristics of the prophets and messengers alayhi wasalam is that there will be an increase in your heart of love of the prophets and messengers. And your love of the prophets and messengers will be increased. Due to what? Due to you acting in accord with the characteristics of the prophets and messengers. you will be increased in your love of them. And this is because the Muslim, if the Muslim examines carefully, yani studies closely, scrutinize, yani am'ana an-nazar, looks carefully, scrutinize carefully, the azim akhlaq al-anbiya, the magnificent character of the Prophet and Messenger alayhi wasalam, wa kayfa kanu 'azam qudwatin fi tayyib alfadhihim wa husn af'alihim. If a person looks carefully at the characteristics of the Prophet and Messengers and how they were a'zam qudwa, the greatest example or model that could be followed, they were a real model, not like the presidents and governors and mayors, who they cannot be a model for us or for our children or for humanity. They are the worst of people. They are drug addicts, rapists, sex fiends, child molesters, liars, corrupt to the core. They are not models. But the greatest models were the prophets and messengers. So whoever looks at their character and how they were a great model in the goodness of their expressions, their speech, and the goodness of their actions, in their speech and their actions. This, along with that which befell them from those people who rebelled and were stubborn, and the harm from those people, in spite of the people who rebelled, who were stubborn, in spite of the harm that they brought upon the prophets and messengers, nonetheless, their speech was beautiful and their actions were beautiful, the way they dealt with the people in spite of that. فَإِذَا تَذَكَّرَ الْمُسْلِمْ ذَلِكَ زَادَ حُبُّهُ لِلْأَنْبِيَاءِ. So if a Muslim remembers this, reminds himself that they were acting like this with people who rebelled against them, who rejected them, who opposed them, who stubbornly resisted them, and yet still they spoke to them kindly and gently, compassionately, mercifully, and they acted with them in the best way possible, in spite of that. Whoever thinks about this and reflects upon this, this cannot but increase you in love for the prophets and messengers. And this will increase you in desire to hear about their lives and their excellent qualities. And it will also increase you in hatred for those who opposed them and who hated them. This is the first, yani, fruit, yani, an increase in love of the prophets and messengers in your heart. Not on the tongue, but in the heart. It will actually affect your heart. The second of them, امتثال أمر الله تعالى لنبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yani that, the second fruit is that you will then comply with the command of Allah the Most High to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was the command of Allah to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? فَبِهُدَاهُمْ اقْتَدِي. Naam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 90th Ayat, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ حَدَ اللَّهِ. These are those, the prophets that are mentioned before this ayat, these are those whom Allah has guided. So He ordered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَبِهُدَاهُمْ اقْتَدِي. So with their guidance, follow it. Take their guidance as an example. Order the Prophet ﷺ to follow the huda that he found the prophets and messengers before him upon. He was ordered to follow their way. وَنَحْنُ, and we are commanded to follow the example of our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, as mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ahzab, 33rd Surah and 21st Ayat, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Indeed, you have, there is for you in the Messenger of Allah, أُسْوَ حَسَنَا, يعني قُدْوَ حَسَنَا, an example, a model, excellent example, a model to be followed for whoever has hope in Allah and hope in the last day and who remembers Allah much. يعني he has been commanded to follow the prophets and messengers before him, and we have been commanded to follow him. So therefore, the following of a Muslim of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is equivalent to following all of the other prophets and messengers alayhi salam. Yani following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was commanded to follow the prophets and messengers before him, and he did, he complied with that command. So following him is equivalent to following all of the other prophets and messengers. Yani the second fruit is what? That we will be in compliance with the command of Allah to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to follow the guidance of the previous prophets. By following him, we also follow all of the prophets who came before him. The third one, ziyadat al-iman billahi azza wa jalla. Yani there will be an increase in iman in Allah. Our iman in Allah will be increased by characterizing ourselves with the characteristics of the prophets and messengers alayhi wasalam. What's the fruit here? What is this fruit? Increase of iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your iman in Allah will be increased. How is that? ذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ أَخْلَاقَ الْأَنْبِيَ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامِ تَجْمَعُوا فَضَالَ الْأَعْمَالِ وَالْأَقْوَالِ. That is because the character traits of the prophets and messengers يعني combine all of the excellent qualities of action and speech are combined in the akhlaq of the anbiya. So whoever exemplifies one of these excellent characteristics, one fadila wahida, and whoever acts upon one excellent quality, yazidu iman al-abd, this will increase the iman of the abd. Yani meaning that we know that iman is what? Yani it's conviction in the heart, speech on the tongue, and actions of the limbs. And iman increases by what? By obedience to Allah. And decreases by disobedience to Allah. So whoever does anything in obedience to Allah, anything that's pleasing to Allah, all of this is what? A means of increase of iman. So the Shaykh is saying here what? That the prophets and messengers have combined and gathered together all the excellent qualities of speech and action. So whoever acts upon one fadila, yani anything that Islam considers to be excellent quality, this will increase the iman of that person. So what about if a person acts upon many of these excellent qualities? What if a person acts upon many of them? Not to mention, if he acts upon those qualities, those excellent qualities, which are what? The actions of the prophets and the speech of the prophets alayhi wasalam. Yani that these excellent qualities, yani being the yani characteristics of the prophets and messengers in speech and action, then there's no doubt that the more of these characteristics we take on, the more we'll have increase in our iman. The fourth of them is al-bu'du an talbis al-shaytan. Yani to distance oneself from the deception of shaytan, the tricks of shaytan. One of the great tricks of shaytan is what? That he makes evil what? Fair seeming. Makes it look good. This is really good. This is nice. This is wonderful. He has deceived many of the Muslims today into thinking that voting for Hillary Clinton is wonderful. Shaytan. Even though the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever appoints a woman as their leader will never be successful. Never be successful. The Prophet of Allah ﷺ said. And they said, make a woman your leader. She will lead us to good. No, she will lead you to hell. She may take you out of Islam. Or, then you have another pick then. If you don't want the lady, take the other guy. The shaytan or the shaytana? The mushrik or the mushrika? Kafir or kafira? What's the difference? Huh? Take your pick. That's your choice. Choose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All they do is make promises that they don't keep. And some of their promises, we hope they don't keep. They said they will allow men to marry men and women to marry women. They promised you that. We will give equal rights to freaks, to homos and lesbians. They promised that. They promised to kick out all of the illegal immigrants and to put tags on the Muslims and build a wall between the United States and Mexico, and make the Mexicans pay for it. And the Mexican president said, yeah, let's see. Yeah, we'll see about that. Allahu musta'an. Distancing oneself from the deception of shaytan. وَمَا يُحَصِّنُهُ لِلْعَبْدِ مِنْ سَيِّ الْأَقْوَالِ وَالْأَعْمَالِ. And those things, the evil speech and evil actions that shaytan makes you think you're good. He makes you think saying these things are good. يُحَسِّنُهُ لِلْعَبْدِ. He makes the person think this is hasan, this is good. Evil speech and action. But by taking on the characteristics of the prophets and messengers, you distance yourself from this deception of shaitan and from those things that he tries to make fair seeming to you from evil speech and actions. Because if a person takes on the characteristics of the prophets and messengers, alayhimu salam, and then shaitan tries to make the evil action look good to him, تَذَكَّرَ الْعَبْدِ, then the person will remember and be reminded that the prophets, alayhimu salam, are the furthest of people from that kind of evil speech and behavior. Then he will arouse his nafs. He will wake up himself. And he will, yani, restrain himself. And he will prevent himself from going forward in acting upon that which shaitan is calling to him to. And then the Shaykh mentions the saying of Allah in Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 201, Ayah 201, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوُوا, indeed those who observe taqwa, who fulfill Allah's commands and avoid His prohibitions, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوُوا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا, yani if an impulse or evil thought of shaitan comes to them, then what? تَذَكَّرُوا, they remember Allah. Why? Because they are what? Taking on the characteristics of the speech and action and the morals and values of the prophets and messengers. So when that impulse or evil thought of shaitan comes to you, تذكروا, you will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ, and then suddenly, yani instantly, they are able to see and have insight, and they realize and recognize that this is from the tricks of shaitan. Distancing oneself, yani from the deception of shaitan and that which he tries to make fair seeming to the believers. The fifth fruit of taking on the characteristics of the prophets and messengers, husnul ta'amul ma'al mad'uween min an-nas umuman, that a person will have good interaction, ta'amul, the way that you deal with people will be improved, it will become beautiful, will be good with the people that you're calling in general, the people in general that you're calling to Islam, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How will your interaction and your behavior with the people become better? Because the prophets who we're trying to, yani, act like them, imitate them, take them as a model and an example to be followed, the prophets used to deliver to their people the messages of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will be doing likewise. And they used to encourage them, yani their people, to do khair. And we will be doing likewise if we act like the prophets and messengers. And they used to warn them from evil. And they used to bear patiently the stubbornness of the people who resisted and opposed and disbelieved and rejected them, in hope that those people would be guided. In hope that those people would be guided. Yani they used to call the people, encourage the people, and warn the people against evil, and bear patiently what the people, yani, afflicted upon them, with hope that they would be guided. And this, if we were to act like this, then this would be indeed an improvement in dealing in the way that we deal with the people that we are calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said also that they didn't used to rejoice over those people when the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala befell them. فَتِلْكَ الْأَخْلَاقَ النَّبَوِيَّ إِذَا تَذَكَّرَهَا دُعَاتِ الْخَيْرِ وَلَزِمُوهَا عَظِمَ عَجْرُهُمْ وَكَثْرُ نَفَعُهُمْ وَكَانُوا قُدْوَةً لِغَيْرِهِمْ فِي جَمِيعِ أُمُورِهِمْ. So the person who is calling people to the khair, if he remembers these prophetic, yani, moral characteristics, if he remembers, he reminds himself of them, وَلَزِمُوهَا, and this is important, the Shaykh said what? If you remember those characteristics, and then you adhere to them. This is very important. Yani, we are studying these characteristics, but that's not enough. We actually have to, yani, act upon them. We have to stick to them all the time. Not on Jumu'ah, not when we're in the masjid, all the time. At home, at work, at school, in the street, with the nice people and the mean people. We have to act like we are Muslims. Naam, with the enemies of Islam, with the filthy people. We have to comply with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory upon us. We are not allowed to act like the rest of the people. We are not allowed to act like them. Wallahi, that's haram on us. You know Allah and you know what Allah has called us to, and you know right behavior, and you have example in prophets and messengers and our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and what they went through and what he went through, and then you say, I abandon that. They cuss at me, I'm cussing back. No, not a Muslim. The Shaykh said, so if they remember this and they stick to it, then their reward, their ajr, will be magnified. And the benefit that comes from them will become plentiful. And they will become an example and a model for others in all of their affairs. And if they can remember these characteristics and act upon them, then the first benefit they will get is they will get the reward of Allah increased, magnified. And the second benefit that they will get is that they will benefit the people. They will benefit the people. And they will become beneficial to the people. They won't be just like any other person who is of no benefit to the society, to their jama'ah, to their community, to their family. They will be beneficial to the people. And they will be an example, a model to be followed for the rest of the people in all of their affairs. And the sixth one is حسن تعامل مع الأقربين. يعني an increase, يعني the goodness of one's interaction with the people that you're calling to generally. And this one is what? A good way of dealing with your relatives specifically. And in not just dealing with the people that you're calling, but now the Shaykh is talking about what? In the way your ta'amal ma' al-aqriba, yani your relatives, your family, how you deal with them. And I heard some of the Shaykhs, yani in the past, yani on more than one occasion say, some of the brothers, mashallah, they are du'at, they are calling to khair. And in the masjid and in the society, they are very good. But the way they treat their families, Allahu musta'an. Yani this is something to be afraid of. Yani he's very nice, mashallah, smiling, saying things to the but when he go home, how he talks to his family? Allah, ya akhi, this is haram. How you can talk to the people nice in the street, and then you abuse your own family? So the Shaykh is saying what? That we must have good behavior, good interaction with our relatives, beginning with our parents, number one, and our children. Some Muslims abuse their children. Wallahi. They have to get a court order. The man, he can't see his children. I witnessed this myself. And then he's complaining, they won't let me see my children. But why though? You actually physically abuse your own children? Wallahi. And your wives? And your wife too? And then you complain? What do you have to complain about? Oh, this is not permissible. And they say in some cultures, yani beating the women and torturing them and killing them and whatever, all this is nonsense. This has nothing to do with Islam. Having good interaction with your relatives, beginning with your parents and your children. So the Muslim gives care to being kind to his parents, just as the prophets were. And he gives care to the education and rearing of his children, just as the prophets alayhi salam were. And in keeping the ties with his relatives, and in seeking to have good relations with them, yani developing affection and love with his relatives just as the Prophet ﷺ were. This is how we do it. And here it should be said, that indeed, من أحمل شأن والديه لحجة تفرغ لدعوة الناس أو طلب العلم فإن تلك الأعذار واهية مردودة. That whoever claims that he has abandoned or neglected the affair of the rights of his parents or his children, use it as an argument that he is busy with calling the people to Islam and seeking knowledge. I'm busy going to the classes and going to the seminars and traveling to study and learn, and abandon your family, abandon your parents. Whoever comes with this argument, the Shaykh said, these excuses are weak and they are rejected. And this is because the Prophet ﷺ, they were the most diligent and eager of all people in da'wah. And in spite of that, they were the most kind and pious and dutiful of all people to their parents. And they were the most caring of all people, yani for their children and for their households. So neglecting the affair of parents and children negates the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is foreign to the character of the prophets and messengers alayhi wasalam. And for this reason, مَا كَثْرَةٌ مَشَاغِلَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. In spite of, yani, the Yani what? How can we say كثرة المشاغل? Yani that the Prophet was occupied with a lot of things. Yani the plentifulness of his, yani the affairs that he was occupied with, such as receiving delegations, and leading the armies, and visiting the sick, and following the funeral processions, and dividing up the spoils of war, and the voluntary charities and obligatory charities, and to the end of all those things that he was occupied with, ما ذلك كله فإنه عليه الصلاة والسلام كان قائما بأمر أهله وبيوته أتم قيام. Yani in spite of all of this, all of these things, he عليه الصلاة والسلام, he was fulfilling yani the rights of his family and his household members with complete fulfillment, perfect fulfillment, not neglecting any of them. And this is as he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said in the hadith reported by Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah from Aisha radiallahu anha, خيركم خيركم لأهله وأنا خيركم لأهلي. And the best of you are those who are best to their families, meaning their wives, their children, their family members. The best of you are those who are best to their families. And some of the scholars said أهلي means their wives, and some of them said it means their children, and some of them said me their families in general, and all of those are applicable. The best of you are those who are best to their families, and I am the best of you to my family. And the Prophet is saying what? Of all people, I am the best in caring for my family. Nobody cares for their family better than I care for mine. And he's our example. Yani having good interaction with your relatives. The seventh, ta'amik ma'ana al-qudwa. Naam. تعميق معنى القدوة في النفوس يعني deepening the meaning of القدوة in the souls of the people within yourself. The meaning of القدوة يعني being a model or an example, letting this يعني become entrenched deeply into our soul. It's not just a word, a slogan that we call to, and the Prophet is the best example, and we follow the example of the Prophet. We ourselves have to be examples, but this is something that has to be ingrained, entrenched in the depth of our soul, in our heart, in our nafs. And it can't be something just on the surface. Rather, this, the importance of being a qudwa. Yani, as we see in the Prophets of Allah alayhi wa sallam and our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this has to become, yani entrenched into our souls. So if a Muslim feels, yani is conscious or aware of this noble, lofty character of the Prophets and Messengers, and these honorable characteristics of the Prophets and Messengers, if a Muslim is aware of this, is conscious of this, reflects upon this, and how, yarhamukallah, and how it has an effect on the people who have these characteristics. How these characters have an effect on the people who act upon them. Al-amilina biha, was-sami'ina anha, and those who hear about them. And he's just hearing about the characters of the Prophets, it affects a person who has iman. And it draws you like a magnet to those characteristics. It makes you have a feeling, an inclination, a desire to take on those characteristics. But some of us, we have that inclination, but we are weak. We don't follow up. Or we try to do it a little bit and then we abandon it. And we try to go to the Fajr prayer and Jama'ah. Now and then we try to do it and then we just, after a few days, we drop off. We try to get up in the night and worship Allah, Tahajjud, and we do it for a few times and then we drop off. We try to fast on Mondays and Thursdays. We try to give a little charity. And we do it a little bit because when we hear about the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're inspired, we're motivated. And we want to do it and we try it. But some of us, and if you don't really appreciate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, then you will lose it. What did Allah say in the Quran? وَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Yani if you are thankful, I will give you more. But if you are not thankful, if you take this thing lightly and don't appreciate what we have, then the opposite. Instead, Allah will give you more, Allah will take it away. Yani ta'ammaqa, yani when the Muslim is conscious of this and the effect of these characteristics on the people who act upon them and the people who hear about them, the meaning of the effect of al-qudwa, yani being a model and example in the self, in the inner being, yani this meaning will be deepened. It will be embedded in his soul. Yani when you speak about these characteristics of the prophets and messengers and the effect that they have on those who practice them and those who just hear about them. So if the person, yani, hears about this, thinks about this, reflects upon this, is conscious of it, this meaning will become entrenched in his soul. And he will stick to this manner, this way of acting, this guidance. لِيَنْفَعَ نَفْسَهُ أَوَّلًا وَيَنْفَعَ غَيْرُهُ ثَانِيًا. So that what? He will benefit himself first, or herself first, and then secondly benefit others. And if you realize the importance of al-qudwa, and that idea is entrenched in your soul, and you stick to it, and you act upon it, then you will benefit yourself first, because you will be doing it. And you will benefit others, because what? You will be an example for other people to follow. And we in our own lives, all of us have seen people, we have been around people, we have come to know people that are models. They are not perfect human beings, but they are good examples of Islam, of the Sunnah. And those people inspire us. They benefit themselves if they're doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah, and they benefit other people who see those good characteristics of the prophets and messengers in them, and they also try to follow them. This is important, that we try to be those models and those examples that will benefit ourselves first and benefit others. The Shaykh, he says, indeed, the qudwa, yani the model in action, is an effective call. Yani it's effective in calling people to the right way. The action, the one who, yani is a model in the action. So what about if you add to that, al-qudwa al-qawliya, yani being a model in your speech also, having good speech, pure, wholesome, good speech. The way you talk, yani your gentleness, your kindness, your compassion, your mercy, when you speak to people respectfully, humbly, truthfully, honestly, all of this, when you think about what you are saying, and you're an example in your speech, in your action and in your speech, then how much more effective would this be? This is what, yani, deepening the meaning of being an example, a model in your soul, so that you act upon this, you benefit yourself and you benefit others. The eighth, and we're coming close to the end, the eighth of the fruits of taking on the characteristics of prophets and messengers, ma'arifatu makamini and naqs fin nafs. And this is critical, of great importance, that you will come to know, you become acquainted with the hiding places of the defect in your own self. And all of us have defects, but some of those defects are hidden to us. We are not conscious of them. We are not aware of them. Yani most of them we know about, yes. We know what we do. We know how we are. But there are some defects that are hidden to us. And by taking on the characters of the prophets and messengers, this will be a way for you to become more acquainted with the hiding places of the defects that are in your inner personal self, that are not easily seen. How is that? The Shaykh, he says, because the characteristics of the prophets and messengers, alayhi wasalam, is like a mirror, safiya, mir'atun safiyatun. Yani is a clear, yani crystal clear mirror. When you look in a clean mirror, you see everything. Everything. The characters of the prophets and messengers is like a crystal clear mirror that uncovers for the one who looks at it, uncovers the good that is in their affairs and the evil that's in their affair. Yani whatever is good in you, it uncovers, it makes it clear that this is good. Because now you have something to compare yourself to. And whatever is evil, whatever shortcomings, defects you have, it becomes clear. It comes out. Because you know that you act a certain way. That you speak a certain way. And when you look at the characters of the prophets and the messengers, you say, something wrong with that. Yeah, that's a defect. I'm not supposed to. Some of us, we actually believe that the way we talk to people, we might think that that's good. Because our minds have been polluted and corrupted by the filth of this society that we live in. We have been made to believe that you're a gangster. You're a slickster. You're a con man. You whatever. That is cool. It's slick. It's whatever. How do they say today? What's the words they use for somebody who's, you know, who's down? I don't know what they say. What do they say? Huh? He's official. That's what I was looking for. I heard that word before. I forgot it, though. I ain't had a long time. Abdul Razak. He's official. You think you're official. You're not official until you follow in the characters of the prophets and messengers. Nam. That's excellent right there. Official. That's what they say. I heard them kids saying that. That's one of the common words in the prison system in America. He's official. Yeah, right. Fishu, kufr and shirk. So you begin to see yourself as you are. When you display yourself or put yourself forward on the scale of the characteristics, yani look at your characteristics and your tasarrufat, your act, the way you act. When you look at it in the mirror of the characteristics of the Prophet and the Messenger alayhi salam, then you will come to know, rather you will become certain of what is obligatory upon you to do and what it is obligatory upon you to get away from. For indeed, all of the conditions and circumstances of one's life and all of the stages or phases of the society have passed by the prophets and messengers, that which is greater than it and more severe. They have been through all of that. And in spite of that, they never abandoned good character. They never abandoned good character. فِي سَرَّائِهِمْ يعني when they are in prosperity, or ضَرَّائِهِمْ when they are having hard times. In every situation, they remained upon the good character with the general people and the special people. يعني عامت الناس وخاصتهم يعني those who are the general masses of people and those who are supposed to be the elite or special people. They remained upon good character. They never abandoned it, no matter what they went through. And this, yani comparing ourselves, looking at ourselves in the mirror of the characteristics of the prophets and messengers, is a way to come to know, to become acquainted with the hiding places of the defects that are within ourselves. Number 9, al-hadar min al-ujb wal-riya wal-bu'd an asbabihima wal-uzum sabil al-ikhlas lillahi ta'ala. This is the 9th one, to be warned. Yani it will be a warning to you, a way of warning you, cautioning you against al-ujb. Yani being, yani proud or conceited. Yani a person who's what? Al-ujb means what? Al-ijab bin nafs, it means that a person is what? They look at themselves, they're amazed with their own self. They're amazed with their own self, like they're really special. Huh? This will warn you against this kind of state of yani vanity or conceitedness, and ar-riya, showing off, ostentation. And it will distance you from the causes that cause a person to fall into that. And it will enable the person to stick to the way of al-ikhlas, being sincere for the sake of Allah, the Most High. And the clarification of this is that the one who calls to khair, if he, إِذَا أَقْبَلَ النَّاسِ إِلَيْهِ, yani if the people come forward to that person, you call into khair, and the masses of people, like you see some of these people, they have hundreds and thousands of people coming to these halls, listening to them. I'll name one of them. And that is nothing personal. I don't even know the person. They call him Nak or something like that. What's that guy's name? Oh, Numan? Ali Khan. He's the one who said that studying Tawheed is too hard. We don't need that. Wallahi, akhi. We don't need... If Aqeedah was important, Allah would have mentioned it in the Quran. People should listen to somebody who talks like that. I heard this myself. And he laughed when he said it. If Aqeedah was important, Allah would have mentioned the word in the Quran. The word Aqeedah is not in the Quran. Therefore, Aqeedah is not important. What kind of logic is this? Does a sensible, sane person, Allah, we fear for a person to die on that kind of condition, what would be their end with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Warning people against studying Aqeedah. Making a joke of a lady who came to tell him about the importance of teaching Tawheed al-Asma wa-Sifat. This is important, these Tawheed al-Rububiyyah and Uluhiyyah. He made a joke, he laughed at her. And he told the story in front of people and made the whole people, hundreds or thousands of people, laugh at that Muslim lady for reminding him to, you should teach the people Tawheed. He said, it's too hard. I fear that, I can't even learn that stuff. I might be a kafir, I might come to kufr or something. I try to learn that hard stuff. He's a person who told the people, you don't need to go to the scholars to learn scholars of tafsir. You don't need that. The Quran is clear. You don't need no scholars of tafsir. But yet he himself teaches tafsir. But we should listen to you though? But we don't need scholars, because the Quran is clear. But we need to listen to you? Allahi, the people. Somebody said, we have come to know now, a couple of days ago, after the election, that the American people are far more stupid than we thought they were. Far more stupid than we thought they were. The Muslims are far more stupid than we can imagine when they listen to people like this, and there are plenty of them. There's no shortage of them. Anyway, our point here, pardon me, Annie, our point here is what? To be warned against becoming amazed with yourself and ostentation, and to distance yourself from the causes of this, and to sticking to, yani, being sincere for the sake of Allah alone. And the clarification of this is that the one who calls to khair, the people may come forward to you in masses, or to kathrat al-jumu' alayhi, and maybe the people will be many, the crowds of people who come to you. And perhaps this person may become amazed with oneself, and will be desirous of hearing the praise of the people for him. And you want to hear what they are saying about me. A'udhu billahi min dhalik. And this is from the greatest and most severe of the openings for the deception of shaitan. How is that, characterizing yourself with the characters of the prophets and the messengers, a warning against this and a protection from this? If the person remembers the characteristics of the prophets and messengers, how they were, وَكَيْفَ brothers who are reading the book in Arabic, pay attention to this sentence here. وَكَيْفَ كَانَ أَخْلَصَ النَّاسِ أَخْلَصَ النَّاسِ. What do you have in your book? That's a mistake. It's not أخلق. أخلص الناس. وَكَيْفَ كَانَ أَخْلَصَ النَّاسِ. If a person remembers the characteristics of the prophets and messengers and how they were the most sincere of all people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were the most sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in spite of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has manifested of great signs that overwhelmed their people and refuted the proofs and arguments of those who resisted, who were stubborn to them. In spite of this, and in spite of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down upon those who oppose them of punishments of all types, in spite of all that, in spite of all of this, they were كانوا أخلص الناس لله عز وجل وأنزل الناس وأكثرهم مجانبة للرياء والسمعة. يعني in spite of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the magnificent signs that He showed, yani, to overwhelm their people and refute their arguments of those who resisted, and what Allah, the punishment that Allah sent upon those who opposed them of all types, in spite of all this, they were the most sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the most humble of all people, and the most of all people in avoiding, yani, being far removed from ar-riya, ostentation, and sum'a, yani, doing things to be seen or doing things to be heard, yani, doing things so people can see you and praise you, doing things so that people can hear about you, so you can get a reputation and people will be praising you. So following the characteristics of the prophets and messengers will warn you against this, being amazed with yourself, yani, from ostentation and the things that cause it, and it will help you to be sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the 10th point the Shaykh makes is الدفاع عنهم وعدم التهاون بالقد في آحادهم ولو من طرف خفي. Yani, that it will enable you and encourage you and inspire you to defend the prophets and messengers and to not take lightly any criticism or fault finding for any one of the prophets and messengers, not even one of them, even if it is in a, yani, what do we say, tarf khafi, yani, it is from a hidden, indetectable angle, yani, from an angle that you don't even notice it. We don't even accept that. We don't accept that. We will defend the prophets and messengers and whoever says anything about them, for indeed the aqil, the person who just has sense, maybe he doesn't have anything else, but he has good sense, that person will reject and disdain, their nafs will reject, and they will never be pleased with the criticism of al-Muslim al-Mastur. Yani, we will not even accept that a Muslim who, yani, is Mastur, and he's not just, and he's not openly doing anything wrong, we don't accept that this kind of Muslim be criticized or spoken ill against. What about the one who his excellent virtues have become apparent from the common masses of the Muslims? Any people who we see have good characteristics, and then people want to criticize them. You know that this person is a good Muslim, practicing Islam, going to the masjid, learning the deen, memorizing the Quran, being truthful and honest in their dealings, and all of this, and yet, will you allow somebody to speak ill against them, to criticize them unjustly? What about then the scholars? What about then criticism of the scholars? if indeed it is from yani our deen, yani a religious obligation to defend the scholars of Sunnah who are well known, yani mashhood, yani witness has been borne for them that they are people of knowledge and excellent virtues. It is part of our deen, yani it is a religious obligation and a virtuous act to defend the scholars of the people of Sunnah. Huh? If that is so, and it is, so what about the affair of the models for the scholars, the lights, who are lights, lamps, for the scholars, and that is the prophets and messengers of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. What about defending them? How much more so? And the last point that the Shaykh mentions, number 11, is bu'ad, being distanced from the ways that lead to al-ya's and al-qunut, yani a person becoming what? Yani giving up, losing hope. I'm giving up and losing hope. And warning, and it will be a warning from the deception of shaitan and his attempts, yani, to frustrate you, to halter you, to impede you from going on. Yani, being distanced from the things that lead to, yani, hopelessness and giving up. And it will be a warning against the deceptions of shaitan in his attempt to hinder you, to impede you from doing good. How so? Yani, the Shaykh, he says, if you attempt to offer nasiha to a person, and that person rejects it, they don't accept it, don't give up hope for that person, nor for any other one beside them. Some people, they try to give da'wah to one person, if it doesn't work, they don't want to give da'wah to anybody after that. Whoever deserves nasiha, yani it is incumbent upon us to offer advice, even if somebody doesn't accept it, then we should not lose hope for that person, nor for others who are entitled to our advice. Rather, such a person, in that case, should continue in their da'wah of those who have fallen short. بِعِلْمٍ وَرِفْقٍ. They should continue in their da'wah using what tools? عِلْم and رِفْق. Yani da'wah requires a person to have knowledge. You can't give da'wah, you don't know nothing. I should say you don't know anything, because don't know nothing, that's not good English, right? Yani, you don't know anything. You can't give da'wah without knowledge. And you cannot be successful in da'wah without rifq, gentleness. Be gentle, be easy with the people. Some of us are harsh with the people. And we run the people away from Islam. And some of us run the people away from the da'wah salafiyya. بِعِلْمٍ وَرِفْقٍ. Rifqin. Indeed, Allah loves rifq, gentleness. If it was decreed by Allah, remember that everything that happens is by the decree of Allah. Walau qaddir, adam istijabat al-aktharin laka. Even if it was decreed by Allah that most of the people that you call, they don't respond. Most of them don't respond. Then remember that some of the prophets, alayhi salam, with the long time, tul muddati hayati, even though he lived a long time, lam yastajib lahu illa qillatun min qawmihi. Only a few of his people accepted. Even though he didn't live 60 or 70 years, even though he lived 1,000 years, and only a few of his people accepted from him, like Nuh alayhi salam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Hud, 11th Surah, 40th ayat, وَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ illa qalilun. Yani that only a few people believed with him. Indeed, rather we can go further and say that some of the prophets, alayhi salam, lam yastajib lahu ahadun albatta. Not even one person accepted his message. So how do we just give up from giving da'wah because somebody didn't accept the da'wah? Or a few people didn't accept the da'wah? Or most of the people that we called didn't accept the da'wah? Rather, if everybody that we called didn't accept it, even still, we have to continue in da'wah. Indeed, it has been reported in the hadith, authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from Abdullah ibn Abbas, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the nations have been paraded before me, have been brought forth before me to see the nations, how they will come forth on Yawm al-Qiyamah. فَرَأَيْتُ النَّبِيِّ وَمَعَهُ رَحَتْ. I saw a Prophet who only had a small band, small group of people with him. وَالنَّبِيَّ وَمَعَهُ رَجُلٌ. And a prophet that had how many people with him? One man. والنبي وليس معه أحد. And a prophet who didn't even have one person with him on Yom Qiyamah. Nobody accepted his message. But yet they continued to call. In spite of that, they were, alayhi salatu wasalam, mustamirreen, continuous in their da'wah of calling their people with the best outward conduct and behavior. وَأَصْدَقَ سَرِيرَةٍ يعني, and the best, the most truthful of their yani inner condition, yani their heart or their mind or their soul, yani their outward appearance, their actions and their inner being was the best and the most truthful. So what do we say about those who are drowning in the sea of hopelessness, who have given up from the first time they tried to give da'wah, or just from giving da'wah a few times? This is the last characteristic that the Shaykh mentions. Yani, avoiding. Yani, looking at the and taking on the characteristics of the prophets and messengers will help us to avoid giving up and becoming hopeless. And then the Shaykh, he ends saying, Allahumma inna nas'aluka bi asma'ika al-husna wa sifatika al-ula an tahdiyana li ahsan al-akhlaq. لا يهدي لأحسنها إلا أنت وأن تصرف عنا سيئها لا يصرف عنا سيئها إلا أنت. O Allah, indeed we ask of you by your beautiful names and your lofty characteristics that you guide us to the best characteristics. And no one guides to the best of them except you. Now we have to ask Allah to guide us to these characteristics, and then we have to work and strive sincerely to achieve them. And turn away from us the most evil of the characteristics, and no one turns away these evil characteristics except you. Allahumma kama hassanta khalqana fahassin akhlaqana. O Allah, just as you have made beautiful our outward physical appearance, so beautify our character. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min munkarat al-akhlaq wal-ahwa wal-adwa. O Allah, we seek refuge in you from evil character traits and evil desires and evil sicknesses and illnesses or diseases. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyil Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa jami' anbiya wa tabi'ihim bi ihsani ila yawm al-deen. And this is the end of our essay, and inshallah we're going to quickly just look at the questions that we have from tonight, and then yani with your patience, and we remind that we have dinner, community dinner next week. Okay, quickly, yani the questions that we had for tonight. The first question: discuss why a careful examination of the character of the Prophet, the Prophets alayhi salam, will increase one's love of them. A careful examination. Naam, Ibrahim.
If one looks in and examines the great characteristics of the Prophets alayhi salam, and their goodness, the actions, and speech, even with those who oppose them.
Naam. Whoever looks at the good characteristics and speech of the prophets and messengers, even with those people who oppose them, and see how they dealt with the people, what can this do but increase you in love for them? Now, and the second, explain how a Muslim's taking Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a model or example to be followed. How does this amount to following all of the prophets and messengers, as mentioned in the Quran, 33:21 and 690? Now, Ahmed. Now. Yani Allah told the Prophet that the Prophets and Messengers before him, those are the people that he has guided. And therefore he must what? Follow them. And we have been commanded to follow our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, if we follow him, it's like following all of the Prophets and Messengers. Question number three, discuss how taking on the character traits of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will increase one's iman in Allah. How does this increase one's iman in Allah? Taking on the character, now Abu Jamil. Because they have gathered together, the Prophet has all good and perfect characteristics. And speech and action. Naam. فَاللَّهُ الْأَعْمَالُ وَالْأَخْوَالُ. Therefore, if a person what? If a person takes on these characteristics, how will this increase them in iman? Because every one of these characteristics is a characteristic of iman. Yani it's from the deeds and actions and speech that are obedience to Allah and beloved by Allah. And these things, yani every action and speech of good, of what Allah is pleased with, yani increases one's iman. Question number four, how does knowing the character traits of the Prophet and the Messengers help one to become acquainted with the hiding places of his or own, his or her personal inner defects. And how does knowing the characteristics of the Prophet help you to become acquainted with the hiding places? Naam. Abu Tariq. Because the Prophet's characteristics are clear, like looking in a mirror. And if you compare your behavior to the mirror of the characteristics of the Prophet and the Messengers, it will make crystal clear. Whatever is hidden in you that you didn't see before, it will become clear to you. Look at yourself in the mirror of the character of the Prophets and Messengers. Question number 5, which one of the fruits of characterizing oneself with the character traits of the Prophets and Messengers is most important in your view? Let's see if we get more than one answer. Which one is most important in your view? Naam, that characterizing yourself with the character of the Prophet and Messengers, this increases your iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anybody think a different one is the most important? Tayyib, ijma. We're in agreement. That the most important thing is increase in iman in Allah. It's more important than everything. And the last question, mention 5 of the fruits of characterizing oneself with the character traits of the Prophet and Messengers, alayhi salam. 5 of them. Somebody give me one. We mentioned 11 of the fruits. One, Ibrahim. An increase in loving of the prophets. Somebody else, another one. Now, Jamil. Increase in iman in Allah. Musa.
Having a good dealing with your family.
Having good dealings, interaction with your family members, your relatives. That it will put us in compliance with the command of Allah to follow the command of Allah to the Prophet Muhammad, to follow the prophets and messengers by following the Prophet Muhammad. 5. Somebody else. Now, Mustafa. Distance oneself from the tricks of shaitan, especially his making evil speech and actions fair seeming to you. Abu Jamil. Distance ourselves from falling into this trap of shaitan to become pleased with yourself, that you are something great and amazing, and falling into ostentation, showing off. Now, that's 6. Coming to become acquainted with the personal defects of yourself. That's 7. Now, Ahmed. Okay, if we take the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an example, it will be one of the benefits of that we would then have been what? Taken on all the prophets and messengers as an example. Now, Musa.
And being patient with those that you are calling.
Yeah. Being patient, yani, it will help you to have better dealings with the people that you are calling, having good ta'amun with the people that you are calling to Allah. Oh, in the back. Wait a minute, Abdullah, right? Abdullah, mashallah. My memory is getting better. I haven't seen Abdullah in how long? Juma someplace I met you, right? Now, go ahead, Abdul, what you got? You become beneficial to the people. You take on the characters of the prophets and messengers, you will benefit yourself first, and you will also be a benefit to the people. Anything else? Now,
yes.
And he distanced you from becoming hopeless, losing hope in the people, because the prophets and messengers, they never lost hope. Even some of them only had a few followers, or one, or none. And they didn't give up. They kept calling. Now, what else? We missed one. Defending the prophets and messengers. Yeah, you will defend them, even if somebody tries to say something about them in an indetectable way. Now,
good dealings with those who we call. Having good dealings.
Good dealings with those we call. Somebody mentioned that. Now, good dealings with our relatives. Now, alhamdulillah, this is good. Pardon us for a little overtime tonight, but next week, inshallah, we'll save ourselves from these questions by